Hello, welcome to Have Roots Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin-Stoltari, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. I'm doing many different kinds of videos on this YouTube channel, but this particular series, if you're just joining us, is based on Les Filles du Roi, the King's Daughters, and we are doing mini biographies of all the amazing, what I call, the founding mothers of Quebec. Before we proceed, let me make sure you know that I have a website called haveroutswilltravel.com. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. I also would love any kind of comments at all if you want to put them in the comments below, or you can actually just email me at haveroutswilltravel. If you've got suggestions or if there's a fille du roi that you would like me to feature, please suggest it. Actually, the one we're doing today is suggested by a viewer. So, without further ado, make sure you, if you want, you subscribe and you get the notifications alert for new content. And with that, let's proceed. For those of you new to the program, Les Filles du Roi, the King's Daughters, is a program that was started by Jean Talon in 1663. And I go into great length. I produced a video called Les Filles du Roi, the Program 2.0. Which gives you all the ins and outs of how the program worked, how the girls were recruited. It will give you really, really good background information for your ancestor and, what prompted them to cross the Atlantic and start a new life in New France. So I hardly recommend that you view that video as well. As many regular viewers know, I usually take someone that is either my own great grandmother or someone of my friends or a client or that sort of thing. But today it was suggested by a viewer, so I thank her for that suggestion. Madeleine Neal is our fille du roi that we will be studying. Let's get to know Madeleine. So Madeleine was born in 1651 in the parish of Saint-Gervais in the town of Rouen, Normandy, and her parents were Robert Neal and Anne Lambert. Now, Rouen is a city on the River Seine in northern France. It's the capital of the region of Normandy. So you can see on the in the picture up on the middle slide. And it was at one time the largest city in medieval Europe. It played a very prominent role in both English and French histories from about the 11th to the 15th century. It's actually where Joan of Arc was tried and buried alive in 1431. Rouen is a city of extraordinary cultural and educational significance, both back then and now as well. The church where she was baptized is Saint-Gervais, and this church has an amazing history. The church we see before us on the right here it was built in 1868, but it sits on the sites of many churches since the earliest time. Charlemagne, if you can believe it, celebrated Easter here in 769. William the Conqueror was buried here. Thomas Becket stayed here while recovering from illness, and Henry II and Louis VI would visit here as well. History truly is all around you as you walk these grounds. Now, I want to point out on the top left, you will see this is the insignia on that church. I'm going to read it in French. Il était le prieur de Saint-Gervais où mourut Guillaume le Conquérant le 9 septembre, and then the year. And so this is the plaque that says William the Conqueror is buried here. So it really, really is there. And this, of course, is present-day Rouen on the bottom left, just to give you an idea of how pretty it is. Truly an amazing, amazing place that I need to go to for sure. Upon her father's death, Madeleine left for Canada, and she sailed on the Saint-Louis de Dieppe. She arrived in New France on September 25th, 1667. She joined on that boat. She was joined by Genevieve Rigaud, who we saw in episode number 10, Anne Rousseau from episode 19, Maricelle, number 16, and Marguerite Hélot, number 13, and Françoise de Chelsnel, 24. So if any of those are your filles du roi, you know that they all got together on this ship. So who did she select? So remember, she gets here in September. How quickly does she get married? So the groom that she selects or selects her is named Etienne Charles dit La Jeunesse. And he was born on the 11th of June, 1643, in the town of Villejuif, Créteil, Paris, which is, it's a suburb of Paris. His parents were François Charles and Coulombe Regnault. So Villejuif is a small village in the southern suburbs of Paris. It's about, you can see I've circled it, it's about 4 miles or 7 kilometers from Paris. It has been mentioned as a town since the 11th century. Although nothing has been definitively settled on this matter, and I couldn't really find any kind of proof, of course, Villejuif means Jewish town. So they think that it was founded by Jewish people who were expelled from Paris. Fascinating. So by 1665, Etienne Charles decides to, join up with the Carignan Regiment, and he comes to New France. In 1665. By 1667, he's transferred to the garrison at Trois-Rivières because Quebec City no longer is menaced by this Iroquois aggressions. And so he's there, and he's there in 1667, and along comes Madeleine. So he's 24 at this time, and he's like, okay, here we go. So on the 24th of October, 1667. Remember I told you, I said, I wonder how long it took her. She got arrived on the 25th of September. By the 24th, she's married. I don't know. I marvel at these women. Truly, I do. So, and they were married in Trois-Rivières. So Etienne and Madeleine eventually settle in Tremblay, which is part of Boucherville. Let's review a little bit about Boucherville. If you've been to Quebec or know anything about Quebec, Pierre Boucher is a big deal. He was the first governor of Trois-Rivières, and he was also a very influential key player, a judge, Indian interpreter, and just really was a person of influence for the founding of New France. So by 1667, he has a seigneurie that is named after him, and he actually lives there as well. They founded a church here in 1670. It was made of wood, and so that would have been in the kind of church that Madeleine and Etienne would have had some of their children baptized here as well. Eventually, the church was replaced in 1712, and then again in 1801, the church that we see here on the right is actually the church that was built upon that site. You can see the picture of Pierre Boucher on the left, and then the statue in Quebec City. I've noted the map here just to give you an idea. I've circled Boucherville, so you can see it is really an off-island town, very close to Montreal. And a lot of people work in Boucherville and live in Montreal or the reverse, actually. And of course, on the bottom left is a picture of Boucherville taken from the water. Just in a really, really pretty town. So what happens is that he gets his seigneurie, but then he slices off a part of it, and that part is Tremblay. And that is where Etienne and Madeleine really make their mark, and they live here for about 50 years. So the Charles family really have their roots in this particular section of Boucherville, which was Tremblay. So this is a very interesting map that I found. It is Boucherville, la localisation des concessionnaires au premier rang selon Laveau et Denormand au 1724. So this is from 1724, a little later than the Charles family, but you can still see the Fief du Tremblay, which is now part of Longueuil, and then Charles family is right in there, okay, the Charles land, because their son ultimately took over that piece of property. So let's have a look at the family that Etienne and Madeleine created. In all, they had 12 children. Marie Madeleine marries Louis Le Petit Laperre and had 10 children, 9 of whom made it to adulthood. Clément married Marie Madeleine Dupré and had 10 children, all of whom make it to adulthood. Catherine married Jean Bissonnette and had 2 children, only 1 of whom made it to adulthood. She herself passed away at 29. Michel married Jean Cadieux and had 2 children, both of whom made it to adulthood. He passed away at the age of 27. Hélène married Michel Vieux and had 12 children, 10 of whom made it to adulthood. Étienne married Marie-Joseph Robin and had 10 children, 8 of whom made it to adulthood. Françoise died at birth. Marguerite married François Dubois dit Jolicoeur and had 6 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Marie-Madeleine married Pierre Regny and had 8 children, only 3 of whom reached adulthood. She also had, this is very interesting, a natural child with Jean-Baptiste Dagenais, and that child made it to adulthood. Remember, natural means without marriage. So she had a child before she married her husband. Jean-Baptiste married Marie-Anne Bourdon and had 5 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. He married, upon Marie-Anne Bourdon's death, he married Marie-Anne Lamotte and had 13 children, 6 of whom made it to adulthood. Anne married Marie Bourdon and had 3 children. And then she married Charles Sureau de Blondin and had 3 more children, all of whom reached adulthood. Jeanne married Ignace Bourdon, obviously the brother of Anne's husband, and Jeanne married Ignace, and they had 11 children, 7 of whom made it to adulthood. In case you were wondering, the total is 94 grandchildren, 73 descendants. Amazing, amazing. So by 1720, Étienne and Madeleine are in their later stages of their lives. They actually sell their property to one of their children in Tremblay, and they move to a new place, and I don't know why, I haven't been able to figure that out yet, but this is where they were, where they settled, and it's a place called Saint-François-de-Sales, which is currently in Laval. It's actually part of Laval. So let's talk a little bit about this area before we continue, because if you have any ancestors in part of this, I want you to kind of know the history and where it is. I've been to Laval many times in my, in the real world, but in Les Filles du Roi, this is the first time that the stories that I've been telling, that anyone has gone there. So, and I'm sure it won't be the last time, but let's talk a little bit about this area. The first European settlers in Laval were Jesuits, who were granted a seigneury there in 1636. Agriculture, or some sort of, settling, first appeared in 1670. By 1675, François de Montmorency-Laval gained control of the seigneury, hence the name. In 1702, a parish municipality was founded and dedicated to Saint-François-de-Sales. So there are many, so it's on the island Île Jésus, which is the Jesus Island, which makes sense given the fact that the Jesuits founded it. And so there were many, many different towns that were part of Île Jésus, Saint-François-de-Sales being one of them. Now, what ended up happening is in 1965, we're fast forwarding history now, 14 municipalities, which existed prior to the incorporation of the amalgamation of the city of Laval. So there were 14 cities, can you imagine, that became Laval? But they all have their own, their own history, their own records, all of that. So you need to know that as you're, researching, to know which municipality, it's not just Laval, it's where, what little town were your people living in, and what happened to it, kind of thing. So that's definitely part of the genealogical quest as we are trying to figure out where our ancestors lived. A few years after their relocation to Laval, Étienne would pass away on the 16th of May, 1724, at the amazing age of 81. He and Madeleine would have been married 56 years at his passing. Amazing. Madeleine herself would pass away on the 15th of August, 1732, also at the age of 81. They are both buried at the Saint-François-de-Sales Cemetery. They truly had a remarkable life, both passing away at the age of 81, and the amount of children and descendants they created are among the most I have seen yet. Going into areas that were new and uncharted were sort of their trademarks. Both Boucherville and Laval would go on to become important places in Quebec, and this amazing couple did their part to help lay the foundations of what would become parts of Quebec. And for that, we thank them. And so ends another episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed preparing it. Can't wait to see who's next. Until then, au revoir.